like the producer of the show, you've got to take authority and give me the thumbs up. Okay? You got me on?
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning. I am so pleasantly surprised. I know the weather outside is frightful. Winter just waited to come during spring. So anyway, it was waiting for that first day of spring to happen, and now it's here. So, but I thought we'd have maybe, you know, 20 people here today or something. But I'm just so surprised. Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. And if you're taking this in online, we welcome you into the worship service too. Welcome, everybody. We've got a few announcements before we get started, so if you want to take a look at the back page of the bulletin, and those of you who don't have it, who are watching online, now you'll know what's going on. So today at 11, of course, food and fellowship. Now, also today, we had this farm fellowship, the blessing of the seed, scheduled for 6 o'clock tonight. That has been postponed, wisely so, because we know what we have out there now is not going to be what we have at 6 o'clock tonight. It's going to get pretty grisly out there, I think. So stay tuned. We will have that probably, you know, in the near future, probably after Easter, maybe that first Sunday in April. But we're still negotiating with the place and where to have it. But the Farm Fellowship, the Blessing of the Seeds, scheduled for tonight, is postponed, okay? And then Wednesday of this week, we have our morning Bible study at 8 a.m., and then we take a 15-minute break, and the prayer group meets, so feel free to fill out a prayer card if you have a prayer card in your pew. Pew rack there, fill it out, put it in the collection plate. It'll make its way to the prayer team on Wednesday morning. Also, Wednesday at 6 p.m., correct, Amy? 6 p.m., choir practice. We're leaning into Good Friday and Easter with our choir practice, so that'll be at 6 o'clock, not 7. And then Friday at 6:30 p.m., we have our Good Friday Communion worship here with our First Communion students receiving their First Communion. And they've got their banners all done, and we're excited to see these kids have their First Communion. So March, Mission of the Month, medical expenses for the premature birth of twins Arlo and Adler. These are sons of Andrew and Allison Wendt of Millerville, Minnesota. And I believe he's on the Elizabeth Fire Department. And so the grandmother lives in Elizabeth. So these are local connections, and some of our members know them personally, and so we just want to get behind them. Next Sunday, March 31st, of course, is Easter Sunday. We have our 7:30 a.m. sunrise worship service. We have an 8:30 breakfast served by the youth group, so there's some sign-up sheets in terms of donating food and helping the kids out do that. And that's in the fellowship hall if you want to donate anything. And then, of course, we have 10 a.m. worship also. Wednesday, April 3rd, 6:30 to 8:30, the Foundry, the Grace Youth, are resuming their normal schedule. So there's a sign-up sheet in the back here if you want to sign up to feed the Foundry. It's kind of fun. There's usually about 20 kids, we figure. So if you want to make a meal, something easy for the kids to have that night, the sign-up sheet is back there. We hope you can do that and be blessed. All right, and then April 6th, this is Saturday, the Women's Spring Fling, and there's a sign-up sheet for that back in the foyer, or you can do it on the Facebook page. So the Women's Spring Fling. Monday, April 15th, noon to 6 p.m., the Red Cross Blood Drive here at the church. Deanne, do they register with you? Okay, hold your hand up. This is if you want to donate blood, see her. She'll get you signed up. So that's been going really good. We've had a number of those already here. Saturday, April 20th, 4:30 to 7 p.m. is the men's ham dinner at Grace here. And there's also sign-up pages for food donations and serving shifts in the fellowship hall. And then finally, Sunday, April 28th, Confirmation Sunday. We're confirming 8 students this year at our 10 a.m. worship service, so we're really excited about that. Thank you to those who brought food and served last Sunday's fellowship hour, and thank you to everyone who brought food and then served Wednesday for our last Lenten meal. It was a Lenten potluck. and it was great. So thank you all. Those are the announcements. I think, Dacia, you had one more. Where are you, Dacia?
Yes.
Okay, here she is. Say it loud. So we're talking Inspiration Point Bible Camp, the camp we are connected with. There's a lot of information on the bulletin board out in the foyer. There's also pamphlets with the various age groups and different camps that are offered this summer. But if you want a discount, sign up or register by April 1st, okay? And they do, as Dacia said, they have scholarships. I love Greg and Janet. They always say an empty bed doesn't hear the gospel. So they want each bed to be filled at camp, and they want to have a good experience. So thank you, Dacia, for that. And sign up for...
Yeah, can I do one more?
Yeah.
Our foundry will be, again, serving their annual Easter breakfast. We do have a few items that we are still in need of, so if you'd like to donate to help our foundry raise funds during their Easter breakfast, sign up to get back in the hall.
Yeah, I'm always the first one here on Sunday mornings. That's just the way I roll. Except on Easter Sunday, I come in and I can smell breakfast because Dacia and the youth group and the youth board people will be in the kitchen. They've probably been in there for hours before I get here, so it's always a great breakfast. All right, those are the announcements. Let's turn the corner into our worship service proper, and let's just take a moment of silence. We open our service in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning.
I thank you that you have answered me. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we pray, O Lord.
O Lord, we pray.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let us pray. Come to our aid, gracious Father, as we look again upon the passion of your Son, through whom you have given us forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. May we who bear his name ever proclaim him the King of Kings and follow him on the way to life eternal. Amen. I'll ask praise singers to come as we turn to the hymn titled All Glory, Laud, and Honor. It's hymn number 108 in the green hymnal or as seen on the screens.
Singers, Redeemer King, not the usual title that a king has, but that's our King, and we give him that title because he has indeed redeemed us. He has paid the price for us to be in his kingdom, and he did that by his own suffering and death, clearing the way for us to come into his presence and enjoy his friendship by removing our sins from us. And we bow a knee to this benevolent King every Sunday when we do what we're going to do now, and that's confess our need for his redemption and hear of his forgiveness. Our order is a little bit different today. It's on the screens, but please note the Bible verses following each of these statements. It's very rich in God's promises for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father and Lord, we come to you just as we are, in all our brokenness, asking for forgiveness. Out of the depths we cry unto you, O Lord, hear our voice. Let your ears be open to our plea for mercy. If you, O Lord, should keep track of sin, who could stand before you? Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. We are caught in sin. The good that we want, we do not do. But we do the evil we do not want. We are broken in what we do and in what we fail to do. Though our sins are like scarlet, make them as white as snow. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. It's my great joy and distinct privilege to proclaim to you this morning that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In him, your sin is forgiven. He has called you by name. You are his. God's Son has made you free. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith as we confess the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God's peace be to each and every one of you this morning.
Our first reading this morning comes from Zechariah, the coming of Zion's king, a prophecy about Christ. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. Our second reading comes from Philippians, the call of Christ's humility. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, gracious Redeemer, as we enter Holy Week and the contemplation of your suffering, by which our salvation was procured, free us from the distractions of boredom and busyness, and place in our ears again your gracious word, that it may awaken gratitude for your work of mercy. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for compassion. God of compassion, be close to those who are ill, afraid, or in isolation. In their loneliness, be their consolation. In their anxiety, be their hope. In their darkness, be their light. Through him who suffered alone on the cross, but reigns with you in glory, Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for those who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy.
Thank you, Carol. Great scriptures for this Palm Sunday listed in the lectionary to direct our focus to the fact that when Jesus rides into Jerusalem that day, it's no accident. It's no happenstance. It was predicted hundreds of years before, even how he would come in, humble, mounted on a donkey, on the foal of a donkey. And who is it that came riding in? It was God himself, clothed in the flesh, as the Apostle Paul. And then he gives us a hint into the end of the story, that this is the one to whom every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. So we are just riding the wave now of Holy Week into Good Friday, Easter Sunday. It's just my favorite time in the church year. So normally I enjoy it because it's kind of right along with spring, but of course I'm looking outside now in the windows and it's all white, but it's going to be gone. We kind of laugh at March snow. We can laugh at March snow like we laugh at death. Our Lord has conquered it. So anyway, we're not quite at the sermon time yet. Before we get there, it's about halftime. Let's stand up and stretch our legs, and why don't you greet your neighbor while you're at it?
Could ever say, of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show. Other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you.
Thank you, Amy. A great message for today. We can stand upon him. Well, kids, it's that time. If you want to come up to the table and the chair here, I have a message just for you. All right. Whoop, excuse me. All right. So what do I have here? I have these palm fronds. Now, these don't grow around here. We had to order them. But, you know, people, when Jesus came into Jerusalem that day, they were so excited about Jesus. And so they wanted to do something special for him, and so they wanted to treat him like a king, and he was riding on this donkey. So they didn't want the donkey's feet to even just touch the dirt on the road, so they quick ran and grabbed palm fronds. It'd be like around here if we went and cut some spruce boughs, maybe. But they put these on the ground, didn't they? And some of them didn't have palm fronds, so they took their coat, and they laid that on the road so that the donkey's feet wouldn't even have to touch the dirt. So everyone was so excited to see Jesus, and they used whatever they could to honor him. And so, you know, we think about that in our own lives, and we can use whatever we have to honor Jesus too. So we can use, of course, our money to help out God's kingdom and the church, but we can also use our smile to brighten somebody's day here at church.
Like this?
We can, yeah, just like that. We can use our words to encourage people, like thank you and good job today. And you know, we have a high school student and a junior high student running the whole audiovisual thing here today. And so we could say thank to them too. And I want to say thank you today for singing. That was awesome. I wish you could do that every Sunday. That was just awesome when you came in and sang for us. So we have to use whatever we can, whatever God has given us. We can use that.
For real?
For real.
Even
yeah.
You?
Yep, even me. And so we can praise Jesus because you want to hold that up? Because of this cross, Jesus has set us free.
It's a shadow of that.
That's right. And because we know that Jesus loved us so much, we can give that same love to others. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for each and every one of these kids here today. Thank you for their beautiful music today that lifted our hearts and spirits. We pray that you would help us to use whatever we have, whatever you've given us, to praise Jesus and to treat him as a king. And so, Lord, we know that you don't need our good works, but our neighbors do. And we pray as we look around our world that we might serve you by serving others, and that we might do that out of loving you because you've loved us. Amen. All right, thank you guys for coming up. Uncle Jim has the fruit snacks today, so. I have a feeling if Marty is watching today's service, Jim might get called Uncle Jim the next time we play golf together. So anyway, sorry, a little bit of insider information. So. And by the way, if you take us in online, feel free to give me a call. I got a call this week from someone out in Bismarck who watches our service, her and her husband, every week. And so that was so encouraging to hear that. And you are part of the Grace family too. So if you're watching and you want to connect with us, give me a call or shoot me an email or something. I'd love to hear from you. Well, as we come before God's word today, let's pause for a word of prayer, shall we? Gracious Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this next week. What a time it is to really just stop our busy lives and return once again to this all-important week in our salvation. When you came and did what was necessary, you lifted the heavy load. You were our beast of burden in what you've done for us. And so we pray today as we contemplate your triumphal entry into Jerusalem that we might see you as king. Amen. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, the triumphal entry of Jesus. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The word of the Lord. You know, there's a story of a Sunday school teacher who asked her preschool class what the Easter story was all about. One little boy suggested that it was when his family ate a big turkey and watched football. "No," said the teacher, "that is Thanksgiving." Next, a little girl offered that it was when they came into the living room at morning and opened presents. "No," said the teacher, "that is Christmas." Finally, a little boy spoke up confidently and said, "It's when Jesus was crucified and buried." At last, the teacher thought she was getting through to one child. Then the little boy concluded, "And when he came out of the grave, and if he sees his shadow, we have 6 more weeks of winter." Today, we will see that the crowds on this first Palm Sunday celebration, like the little boy, had half the story right. And the missing half would make all the difference in the world. You see, the great rulers in history have always come in displays of power. The typical entrance of the Roman emperors was riding in a golden chariot pulled by at least 6 magnificent stallions. Parades, arches, and columns have been used to mark the entrance of great kings coming in power. But today, behold the entrance of the greatest king. How different is his arrival in Jerusalem to begin the week of his fulfilling thousands of years of ancient prophecies. What kind of entrance would this king make? He came riding on a small donkey. Yet, we should not be fooled by this appearance, for it fit the great victory he was going to accomplish, a victory that many would understand initially as a humiliating defeat. There was no war chariot pulled by stallions with the thunder of hooves, but only an insignificant beast of burden. Hosanna. Everything is backwards. His victory would not be marked by a battlefield strewn with broken lances and broken bodies, with the king raising his sword and shouting the victory cry, but only the broken body of a condemned criminal, crucified on a lonely hill, hanging his head and uttering his last words, "It is finished." Hosanna. Everything is backwards. The symbol of his victory would not be celebrated by a magnificent arch that a victory parade could march through, receiving the cheers and garlands of the masses. No plaque or public monument commemorating the battle, but only the symbol of a simple wooden cross upon which he hung, while those around him taunted him, divided his clothes among themselves. Hosanna. Everything is backwards. No great tomb would be built to contain his body so that the people for years could come and see the great monument of the great king, see where he lay, where his body was, ruminate on the greatness of his empire and accomplishments. No, there would only be a simple tomb, crudely carved into the side of a hill, that contains no body. Hosanna. Everything is backwards. Today we mark the iconic nature of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, for it exposes the different kind of victory it commemorated. It would be completely different than what the crowds cheering him that day wanted, and different than what we ourselves are also conditioned to expect. As those who live in this world of countries, borders, and armies, we are locked in to understanding a kingdom in terms of a physical space and time. But today we come to understand that the kingdom of Jesus cannot be measured by these categories, for these categories are just simply too limited. Today we also remember that many of those who greeted him that day with the messianic cry, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," were also among the crowd that same week shouting, "Crucify him." And it's also true that we, like the disciples, often lose track of the true nature of Christ's kingdom. Although Jesus had predicted his arrest, trial, and death three times to his disciples, they were the first to throw their coats on the road as an expression of Jesus' royalty, anticipating that they could get a kingdom of glory without the suffering of the cross. And just like us, they craved Jesus to be a Savior as they would define him, not a Savior who was about to throw himself into an attack on their real enemy, on our real enemy, sin and resistance to God's rule. God would not win his great victory over humanity by sending great armies onto a bloody battlefield, but by sending his Son in humility to die upon a cross. Many worshipers in our modern times flock to churches on the two consecutive Sundays of Palm Sunday and Easter. Both occasions are marked by celebration and shouts of joy. In our humanness, we crave these times and gravitate to them. But God help us if we ever forget the event that lies between these two celebrations. God help us if we fall prey to the subtle temptation that Christianity moves from celebration to celebration, that somehow Easter can erase the cross rather than make it stand for all eternity. The truth of the matter is that if we hail Jesus as King, we must hail him first as the one who came to suffer and die for our sins. The glory of his resurrection can only be found in following the beast of burden to the cross, our cross, that he delivered us from as we confess, "Hosanna, everything is backwards." It's hard to love this Jesus, because in loving him here at the cross, we must acknowledge our sin, the sin that put him there. We must admit, as Luther said, we all carry about in our pockets his very nails. But this is also where the healing comes, the restoration, the blessed surrender to God's rule, and the relinquishing of the mess we have made, the peace, the refuge, the sanctuary, and the rest that we need are found in him and his forgiveness. Here at the cross, this is where we find the victory over those things we stand helpless against. Today, in the midst of our helplessness, our pain, our loneliness, and frustration, we cry out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." For he comes not to crush us, but to heal us by his death and resurrection. Here, where he brings us into his glorious kingdom and excludes us from God's holy wrath, this is where he carried our sins as a beast of burden to wage war on our sin and execute God's awesome grace. "Hosanna, everything is backwards." And because he carried the burdens of our sins, we can also trust him with our other burdens. The burdens of our anxiety, our fear, our broken relationships, our homes, our guilt, our shame, our sorrows and sickness, for this beast of burden has carried us to the very heart of the Father. And because of him, the Father will never deny us. We live beneath an open heaven. Hosanna, everything is backwards. But make no mistake about it, this humble warrior will make another entrance when he returns a second time. This time he will come in unmistakable glory to claim the heaven and earth he has conquered by his blood and sacrifice. Here is how that entrance is described in the last book of the Bible. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of the heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, which will strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the time that God promises, when at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is this time that God calls us to live for and live in, while we are still living in the present world. And because of his backward victory at the cross, we are free to live above the human need for earthly conquest, whether it be over people or possessions. For he has given us the riches of his glorious kingdom, and he rules over our hearts. We are free from the need to escape present reality, because he stands with us in it and points us to his eternal future, purchased and paid for by his life, death, and resurrection, and given as a gift. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we enter into this week, and as we enter into every week, may we remember that you indeed are the King of Kings, a benevolent, a gracious, and a kind King, unlike any king we've ever known from this world, a King who serves us, who gave his life for us, who rose for us, and walks with us each day. So, Lord, remind us, remind us, remind us. You indeed are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you are our friend. Amen and amen. You're invited to sing together Rejoice, the Lord is King, hymn number 171 in the green hymnal, or as it appears on the screen. As is our custom, we will devote some time to prayer at the end of our service. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have served us so graciously and fully, and that you not only died, but you rose and you live to accompany us and walk with us through this broken world. Lord, we pray especially for those who celebrate birthdays this week. We pray that they might have an exquisite sense of your love and care and companionship with them. Lord, each of us walk different journeys. Sometimes these journeys are hard. Sometimes they are joyful. But you are with us in every peak and every valley of our lives. And in this moment of silence, we lift up our own journeys to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
There's not a friend like the Lord.
friend like him. Amen to that. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious Lord. Thanks be to God.